As we heard earlier in the programme, US officials are meeting with negotiators from Ukraine and from Russia in Saudi Arabia. Up for discussion is a proposed 30-day ceasefire on strikes on energy infrastructure, as well as a longer-term peace deal. The Russian and Ukrainian negotiators are not in the same room. Officials from Kiev met the US team in Riyadh last night, and talks between Russian and US negotiators are taking place there today. We're joined now by Ukraine's former economy minister, Timofey Milovanov. Mr. Milovanov, good morning and thank you very much for joining us. Volodymyr Zelensky described these talks as constructive. So are there grounds for optimism that an agreement can be reached?
The talks themselves is a ground for optimism. And we can learn from the past negotiations between Ukraine and Russia, either direct or indirect, after the annexation of Crimea in 2014, or even before the full-scale invasion in 2022, and even in the early months of the war. So these talks, the fact that they're happening, means that both Ukraine and Russia are serious, and there is a potential to achieve some kind of ceasefire with the promise of a lasting peace, because usually these rounds of talks don't last that long. They are simply not happening. But it is also typical that early in the discussions, we know almost nothing about what actually is being discussed.
What would Ukraine regard as a successful outcome from these talks?
Views are different, and they depend on people's expectations. Some people have maximalist demands, but some are basically willing to get peace at any price. But I think the majority is somewhere in between. What we want to ensure is that the fighting stops now, and Russia doesn't invade us again in the future. These are fundamentally the two things that Ukrainians want: peace and be left alone so we can focus on building our country.
Now, the US is leading these talks, but given the disagreements we've seen between the US and Ukraine, not to mention that row in the Oval Office, do Ukrainians trust Washington to act as an honest broker?
The majority of Ukrainians are highly skeptical about the stance of the U.S. negotiators, especially after that fight in the Oval Office. Ukrainians feel betrayed, but at the same time are trying to stay as pragmatic as possible. Okay, the United States has shifted its foreign policy towards isolationist, towards MAGA preferences. There is a new president, and President Trump has very clear views on his priorities. And so Ukrainians have to deal with that. What it means for us is that we have to rely more on ourselves in Europe, build our institutions, strengthen our defense, and strengthen our economy.
When it comes to these talks, who is most in need of an agreement, Ukraine or Russia?
Well, you know, I hate to say that, but my view is Ukraine is bleeding more simply because it's a smaller country. But I also think there are structural changes in the Russian economy. And Ukraine can hold off for at least another year or two, even without the U.S. support. But realistically, it means many more people will die. So, you know, there is a debate in the society. Should we demand or fight for better conditions in terms of decreasing the chances that Russia will invade in the future, meaning really security guarantees? Or should we agree to, you know, peace, speed it up, with perhaps more concessions, but then use the time, the pause in fighting, to create strong enough defense and relationships with allies that Russia will not have an intention or possibility to invade in the future?
I saw you were posting on X last night that President Zelensky's approval rating has risen to 67%, the highest it's been, I think, since December 2023. This was after President Trump called him a dictator. Does it put President Zelensky in a stronger position now, you know, perhaps where he could push harder for an agreement that benefits Ukraine?
Well, domestically, his support indeed is stronger. It is the rally around the flag effect.
Yeah.
There's a question whether it's going to last. if the war continues. And there is a question whether he can convert it into leverage or into bargaining power at the negotiating table. Now, this support is domestic. If it were among the U.S. voters, then probably that would help. But since it's domestic, I think it doesn't necessarily help him to have a stronger position in bargaining, but it does help him to have better chances, let's say, if there is election or if he needs to convince the public to stand behind his position so he has more legitimacy.
Okay. Timothy Milovanov, thank you very much for joining us.